Blog Talk Radio.
Weekend was with a Z. The call-in number tonight, ladies and gentlemen, 646-727-3279. I want to say hello and welcome to the audience tonight. For those who have heard this show before, and for those of you who may be listening for the very first time, my name is Andy Brown, and I live vicariously through you. We're broadcasting live here out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Tonight, we're in Irving, Texas. Myself and Ricky Williams, ladies and gentlemen, we're on each and every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Central, and I want to say thank you because of you, the callers and the listeners and the bloggers, our show just gets better and better each week, and tonight, it'll be no different. Tonight is Wednesday, September the 29th, 2010. We're back here again, and I've had to pour myself a brown liqueur to sip on for the evening, cut with a splash of pineapple juice, and Ricky's here tonight. Ricky, you want to talk to the crowd for a quick second, tell them what's going on?
To be honest, man, this is one of the greatest shows that I think we've ever done. Last week we did sex sales. It was a very hot topic, surprising ladies. You know, they called in and they, you know, they talked and talked and talked about, you know, how sex actually sells. But, you know, that was a great show. But tonight is going to be even better, my man. It's going to be the greatest thing ever, I believe.
I agree. For those of you all who don't know, sex sales was a hot topic. And if you listen to the link, if you go to blogtalkradio.com/howwasyourweekend and check out the show on the homepage, sex sales, you might need a glass of cold water because the show got pretty heated. Some of the ladies just voiced their opinion and they just went off. It was pretty hot. I kid you not. You know the topic. You know sex sales. You know some of y'all have probably already done it. One lady even told me that women should never be broke because they were born with a pocketbook. Therefore, if you're born with your own personal purse, with an aura, for those of you all who are country, purse with an aura, you would know that statement might be true. But keep the party going. Go ahead and create your profile at the website, howwasyourweekend.com. I want to say hello to my family in the chat room tonight. Get ready to type. Get ready to sweat because it's going to be a good show tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We talk about the locked up lifestyle. You heard Akon come on and introduce the show. And for most of us, when we think about prison, we tend to go off what movies and what television shows kind of portray, what kind of picture they put in our mindset. You know, we've seen the comedic aspect that Tyler Perry has when Madea goes to jail. We've seen the drama on Fox's Prison Break. And we've even recognized the hardcore gangster life of HBO's Oz. You know, they're all different. You know, even one of these clips, you know, as different as they may be, they all share a different aspect. But they also do have one thing in common. They're brief, they're edited, and they're extremely fictional. So when the program is over and the credits go up, the real inmates are still living their life. But the story that we watched is over, and we continue on with ours. So many have all often wondered, you know, what's it like in prison? Is it cold? It's always violent. You have to fight for your life every day. Are people raped? Are they bending folks over, turning them gay? Drug heads? Somehow everybody seems to all of a sudden find their religion and turn Muslim. Well, tonight we're going to talk on the subject of the locked up lifestyle. And folks, I got to tell you, it's going to be hot. We're going to hear from people who have actually been locked up and incarcerated. I mean, I've always wondered, you know, what is it like to really be locked away from society, whether you're guilty or not, you know, and to go through that forever long, you're going to be locked away and have to come back and find your place in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You know, it's pretty intense, and I would say that it's just something you may or may not really want to deal with.
You know, I would caution all the listeners that some of the language and some of the things that you might hear tonight, you know, it could be offensive, it could be a little scary, but, you know, excuse me, we do everything and we get wild out on the online happy hour. We keep it real and always, we tell it like it is. So joining on our even conversations, topics, excuse me, man, I'm sorry, but this drink is getting me. This drink is getting me, man. But what we're going to do right now is just basically get into it and discuss incarceration. You know, again, what we were talking about is so many people glorify the aspect of being incarcerated. It's like you become a man. You get street cred when you become incarcerated. You know, I beg to differ, but you can't tell a teenager that when you see his most popular star like Lil Wayne and Plexico Burress and Michael Vick and all these so-called rap stars that's going in and out of jail, you know, they think that's the life, that things is how you become a man. So I think we're going to open a lot of people's eyes today and actually talk to some people who probably say different. You know, that is not the best place to be, Andy. What you think about that?
I think you're right, bro. I mean, I think that what we need to do is just go ahead and get to the real. Y'all know how we do. Y'all know how we do, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to go ahead and let it be known. The chat room is open. Type your mind. Chat what you feel. Open up your voice and let it be heard because, you know, one of tonight's special guests, if you go to the website, howwasyourweekend.com, you're going to see him profiled with us. Mr. Michael Styles Jackson. And, Michael, are you on the line with us?
Yeah, I'm on the line with y'all, man.
Man, how you doing tonight?
Man, you know what? I'm doing absolutely wonderful tonight.
Right.
I'm ready to get off on this subject, man.
That's what's up, bro. I mean, we talk about it, man. I mean, it is what it is. You know, we definitely want to thank you, and I hope you can hear me pretty well.
Oh, now, yeah, I got you.
Life is what it is, man, a locked-up lifestyle. You know, so many people go to prison, they come out, but they hear the stories, what they think they know on television. You know, if you've been locked up, man, you know, tell us a little bit about prison itself, man. How are the inmates treated, and what kind of place is it?
It is virtually, if you want the truth to the fact, it is basically hell on earth. I'm just going to give it to you like that. And when I say
as you
that,
should.
And when I say that, it's because this is a place that you shouldn't worse on. You shouldn't wish this on your worst enemy. Okay, because when you first hit there, it's an automatic trauma. You go into shock. And That's the one story you don't never see in the movies, because I heard y'all refer to the movies. And
right.
That's the one thing I want to go ahead and just get out the way. I want to let everybody know, just go ahead and everything that you've ever seen in movies, some of the elements may have been true. Some may be glorified and blown out of proportion to romanticize what prison is like. But for the basis, it is fictional. You're not going to find nobody doing any gladiating in underground parts of the prison. I mean, true enough, we've seen what we've seen on TV as far as what they were doing in California, pitting gang members against each other for their own amusement. Yeah, that will go on sometimes. But what I'm going to give y'all is a glimpse into TDC, Texas Department of Corrections.
Okay.
What I say is
now,
hell,
is that, were you in prison?
Yeah, I was in prison for 10 years.
Okay. Okay. Now, what did you go to prison?
I actually went to prison. I had got caught up in a situation with supporters of mine. They robbed a liquor store. I was in there and had stepped out. They robbed it. And I ended up getting caught and taking the fall. Now, the other situation was, after that, I started doing some dancing. Yeah, I danced as a stripper for a while. Met a young lady at a club. Got caught up, didn't know how old she was. We never did do anything, but situation fell that way. And, hey, I ended up getting caught up, and they filed charges on me because
okay.
She was underage. So, I mean, you know, I can't change my past, but you can always change the future.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, and that's the one thing a lot of people fail to realize out there. I mean, I know people might judge a person when they go to prison, but remember one thing, when they go to prison, they're going to pay for their crime. That's the reason
wow.
they got sent to prison. But to be treated as an animal, to have your dignity taken away from you, this is what the prison system is set up for. This is what the public doesn't see. The public doesn't see the fact that, see, one thing that we have that we take, that a lot of men take for granted, and I think a lot of women do too, is a man's facial hair. Let's talk about something as simple as that. When you go to prison, you can't wear facial hair because you know what they tell you? If they see you with hair on your face, get that man off your face.
Wow.
Because they don't want you to be a man. They want you to be a docile, inhuman creature who will do what you are told to do when told to do it, no matter how wrong it may be or how immoral it may be. See, everybody thinks that when you go to prison, they have rules that help you become an upstanding citizen. Prison is no more than a little world inside a big world. It's like a petri dish when you put bacteria there and you want to see how it'll grow. Or you expose it to different elements to see what the reaction will be. This is what prison is. True enough, you have those who are innocent. You have those who belong there. I'm not
wow.
going to lie. I'm going to be straight up about it. I'm not going to sit up here and tell everybody, hey, everybody down there is innocent. No, they're not. But you do have some that are. You have every different walk of life. You have every type of person. I went to one unit, and over 25% of the unit were deaf.
Say that again.
How do you? 25% of this unit were deaf, as in could not hear, could not speak.
Damn.
And to see how some of them were treated, I've been on a unit where I've seen a 65-year-old man get jumped on by a 25-year-old guard. And the guard
wow.
didn't do nothing except get slapped on the wrist and just moved to the other end of the building for the rest of the day.
Really?
The old man got written a disciplinary case. Got dropped in his line class. Now, I will tell you what line class is. Line class is where you have to exhibit a certain behavior to get privileges. In which they, as you exhibit more of a calm behavior and the yes, sir, no, sir, and the, let me change that, the yes master, no master. All right, and it don't matter what your skin color is. It don't matter if you black, white, or Mexican. You have to be yes or master and no master in the Texas penitentiaries.
Well, let me ask you this. While you're talking about that, I mean, it sounds like you're talking about, you know, how their mindset has shifted. I mean, like, how is prison life, number one, how has it affected you, and what kind of effects does it have on others that you know on the inside?
Well, actually, I'm going to tell you something. It affected me within a way because when I first hit the prison system, I was still wrapped up within the gang scene. And it was easy to still conduct myself as if I was on the street because that's one thing they encourage. They encourage illegal activities, and I kept doing them. I kept selling weed. I kept selling cigarettes, which are illegal down in Texas penitentiaries. That's like the modern-day crack down there. I had pawn shops. I had dudes working for me, washing clothes. I was making money. I was running parlays and lotteries. And I felt like, okay, hey, I got to do up to 5 years. I'm going to keep my hustle tight till I get home and just get right back out there. That's what my attitude was then. But then it dawned on me. Because I wanted to have things. Something snapped inside my head and said, you know what, man? If you plan on having a family, can you really take this to your son and say, hey, live this lifestyle and be successful? You can't because it's going to lead him to the penitentiary or either locked up in jail or he's going to end up becoming addicted to the game just as you've been. And I took advantage of the opportunities that they have down there. See, they're not going to give you and say, okay, you have to go to college.
Right.
You have to get your GED. They put the opportunity there in front of you, but I'm going to tell you the truth. They make it hard as hell for you to reach it.
Because now, what do you mean by that?
Really, well, when I say that they make it hard for you to reach those achievements, it's so many things you have to go through. You have to be a certain line class. Like I say, line class plays a big factor down there as far as what you can do and what type of things you can, programs you can take part of to help your rehabilitation.
Right.
And then you have to basically kind of fake it to make it because you have to exhibit yourself as not being a free thinker. You have to become part of the herd. You know, if the bull moves this way, you have to follow with the rest of the cattle and move along because that's how they treat you down there. Now, my mindset, I was affected, don't get me wrong, by several guards. It was several guards that I talked to who were actually down there to help you rehabilitate yourself, who don't mind talking to you about real things that are in the world, who don't mind sitting up here and talking to you about God. And that was one of the things that helped me change. One of the things that helped me change, because y'all touched on it, why a lot of brothers want to become, sometimes they become Muslim or they gravitate toward religion. You know, a lot of people in the world, y'all take it and y'all see somebody, oh, you just found Jesus just because you was locked up. Or you done start serving Allah just because you was locked up. Well, it might be the best thing that they did because that's what helped them come home to you. So don't sit up here and throw it in their face because they did it.
Right.
Encourage them to keep on that same path because that's what's going to keep them at home. But when I gravitated toward it, I'm not going to lie, it was because I was lacking discipline. Now, the organization I was with, we had discipline, but it wasn't the discipline that I needed in my life. And that's the one thing that I needed, so I gravitated toward it. It exhibits discipline because it talks about being pious. That's one of the pillars of faith within Islam is piety. And when you see this and you see these brothers upstanding, they not cursing anybody out. They stand their ground for what is right. And there's respect. Though it is through fear because a lot of the inmate populace, as well as the guards, have misconstrued ideas about Muslims and about black Muslims. if you black and you're a Muslim, they feel like you're radical. So therefore, they don't want to stir no pot up with you. But then there are those that are in there that are part of Al-Islam, which means the Islam, or the American version of Islam, and they're more about peace, trying to get along. But yet, depending on what area of the state you're in, if you're Muslim, you still got the good old boys there, and they're going to try to make it as hard as they can because they still living back in the 60s. It's amazing to see, and that's the amazing thing that's always struck me as amazing. Here it is, you 23 years old, and you still act like you back in the 60s, and you weren't even born during that time.
And you know what, man, we see that. Sometimes we can see that in the movie portrayal. A lot of us can see, you know, because of just what, you know, the basis of, you know, people coming into like that religion mode. I know when I was, I don't have my own experience to be incarcerated myself, but I mean, just taking upon some of the movies that I've seen. But I want our callers to chime in on this as well when they get a chance, ladies and gentlemen. 646-727-3279 on the online happy hour. blogtalkradio.com/howwasyourweekend, was with the Z. We have Mr. Michael Styles Jackson on the line, ladies and gentlemen, talking about the locked-up lifestyle. If you know someone or you yourself have been incarcerated for a period of time, talk to us about it. A lot of people just don't know what it's like. And, you know, Michael, I want to come back to you, man, if you want to share just, you know, what are some of the personality traits that people have? I heard you talk earlier about, you know, switching, you know, with the religious aspect, but, I mean, as far as how your personality shifts, you know, as far as communicating amongst other inmates or amongst the guards, like you mentioned, you know, what are some of the things that you notice coming in that somebody may not have been doing at first until they got in, but they adapted to that environment?
Oh, man. It's so many different levels of that. I mean, you got those who... I was talking to a gentleman today about it. You have those who get caught up in the fantasy of the books. When I say the books, I'm talking about the Donald Goin books. Anybody who's been locked up, I know y'all know about it. Those brothers and sisters who might be listening to the phone and anybody else listening on the phone tonight and listening on the blog, I know y'all probably read Donald Goins and remember the Trick Daddy books and all this here. Well, those books make a major influence on a lot of the young cats down there. So they get caught up in the pimping thing, and next thing you know, you got stories about how they was pimping on the streets. You got some individuals who maybe have been drug addicts when they come to the penitentiary because they don't want anybody to look down on them. They don't portray the role as being a drug addict, so they can fit in. They portray the role as if they were the big man on the streets. You have some, and I remember you touched on this earlier, and I really feel like I need to point this out. You talked about how you have some individuals, when they get in, they end up getting caught up as far as they might be raped or they end up getting caught up in the homosexual gang. Well... One of the games I've seen played down there, and I never understood how a grown man could sit up here and play this game. It's called a booty game.
Yeah.
They say they do this to pass by time. But when you walk up to another grown man and you grab him on the butt, I'm going to tell you the truth. You grab me on my butt, it's going to be a fight. But I've seen grown men literally take a finger and dig up in another man's butt. And he turn around and go to laughing. Oh, man, I'm going to get you later on, fool.
What?
Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Yeah. You heard me right, Ricky. You heard me right, man. And the thing about it is, not only did the inmates play the game, but the guards did too.
No.
They played right along with the inmates. Yeah. I'd have seen a lieutenant walk up in the hallway and grab an inmate right up in his ass, palm it, telling him, you my bitch. This is, and they think that they have to play these games to make it, to fit in.
Yeah.
I've seen dudes come in, and I remember one time, and I'm going to tell y'all, I'm the type of person, I don't mind putting nobody out there, all right? I say real names, real places, this is what it is.
As you should, and you free here.
I was on a unit in Avalon, and I seen a young cat, a cat that was married. Beautiful wife. I'm talking about his wife looked like she could have been Lisa Ray's big sister, you hear me? Yeah, real talk. Beautiful daughter. They sitting at the table visiting. Well, tell me why he messing with a 6'9 punk named Ninja. But he out here kissing his wife in the mouth at visitation. I said it out loud. My mama, we out there at visitation. I'm talking to my mama, and I said it out loud. And the dude, we got back on the block, he was ready to fight. But then I asked him, how you going to fight me? And you need to be fighting yourself because you're the one who put yourself in that situation.
Yeah.
Once again, within his mind, he had to survive this way. He had been locked up for 16 years. And he felt like the only way he was going to make it is through carnal means. He had to satisfy that carnal nature.
Yeah, but if you are locked up for like a certain amount of time, do you just pretend or think that man is another woman? How what changes in your mind to make you see this man as a sexual being if you wasn't that way when you walked into the doors, or did you have this side of you that you just never tapped into? And then all of a sudden, as soon as you got to jail around other men, you tapped into it. What got into your mind about that, my man?
I'm going to tell you exactly what it is because I think me and Andy had talked about this one time, and I was telling them it's something that you see in their eyes, okay? I had a partner of mine that was full of life, finna get ready to go home, 2 weeks away from going home, all right?
Mm-hmm.
He thought he was finna get ready to go home, finna go parole. His family ran into some hard times. They couldn't really do things for him like they was. He found out he was going to get a year set out, okay?
Yeah.
He found this out, he was depressed. Well, his next-door neighbor was a homosexual named Armani. Armani sat up there. Next thing I know, I hear my boy is in the cell with him.
Yeah.
Well, don't get me wrong. You can have straight dudes and real stiff dudes who can be in a cell with a homosexual, ain't nothing going to go down.
Yeah, yeah.
But when cats get in vulnerable positions and you hear about that homosexual making the move to get them put up in the cell,
yeah,
then it done went down. But it's a mind game that they play. I'm there for you. If you need commissary, I got you. Commissary being going to the store, soups and chips.
Yeah.
Anybody's ever listened to Zero and hear about how he talk about how niggas be switching like bitches?
Yeah.
Right behind some soups and chips? That's real talk. That's real talk, man. I've seen dudes sell booty just to get commissary.
Whoa.
And they not even supposed to be gay. The game is this. I've seen it played many times.
Be gay?
Wait a minute, how you supposed to be gay?
You know, and that's the mystery of as a lot of people want to talk about, that you just automatically go in and thinking that you just done turned into, you know, Sugar Booty Jones.
Because this is the thing. When you hit the penitentiary, your mind goes into a null and void state. You in shock. You in trauma. You go into a different world. You go into a world which you feel like the outside don't know about, and what you don't say nothing about, ain't nobody going to say nothing about. It's almost kind of like what they say about Las Vegas. What goes on in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas.
Yeah. Hey, man.
Well,
you know what? Mike, hold that thought, bro. We're going to go to the phone lines because, you know, you ain't the only one that's been in that situation, bro. We've heard from men, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to hear from the women as they chime in. 646-727-3279. We're going to have callers from the ATL come in. Toya, are you on the line with us?
Hello? Hello, Toya.
Yes, hi, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself? Say hi to Mike.
Hi, Mike, how are you?
Hey, how are you doing, Toya?
I'm doing great. I've never been to prison, but I've been in jail, and I actually did a year straight, day for day. But I want to comment on the young man that just got through speaking. He still seems like he's a little upset with the world because of what happened. But in reality, being locked up is something that we bring on ourselves. Being locked up is also a state of mind. When you're locked up, when you do something wrong, you have to get your mind right and understand that sooner or later you're going to get caught for the wrong that you're doing. And when you get caught, you have to have your mind right that, okay, I'm getting ready to do this time, wherever this judge, I'm going to do this time. And you'll have to conform to the way of the lifestyle that's going on. It does not mean that you have to do everything there, but you have to apply the rules to yourself. You understand what I mean? And a lot of people, when he stated that a lot of people go in and then they find religion, well, you know, to me, a lot of people that go to jail or prison, they need another means of another escape, if you will. And you can say or do whatever it is that you want or however you do your time, and however doing your time makes you feel comfortable. If doing your time is converting to a Muslim, if doing your time is you worshiping God, or doing your time as a homosexual. Now, I, on the other hand, think that if a man does anything past 3 years, you cannot convince me that he hasn't been with another man in there. But that's just me. But,
that's different. Now that's different, Toya. You've been in a women's prison. You haven't been in a male prison. So we're going to talk about the.
I have known guys that just because I was in, you know, when females are inside of jail and men are inside of jail and are prison, they are allowed to like one another. With that being so, they tell as much business as about the prison life than you do about the jail life inside the jail that you're at, because this information is being switched back and forth. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So I understand there are people that get raped. There are people that get raped in jail. For me, jail time is much more harder than county jail time is much more harder than prison time, because in jail time, at least you have a lot of room to move around. You have a lot of things you can do. They even offer you, a place to work. In county jail, you just sit there, and that's all you do. Most of the time, your meals and all your meals are fed to you right there inside the cell. Now, me, for example, I was gay before I went to jail. So because I was that way, I was discriminated against and was not given a roommate. They did not give me a roommate in jail because of, yes, but there was nothing I could have done to prove that. There are some officers that are really nice. There are some officers that will, try to help you while you're there. It is all in accordance with your own attitude and how you carry yourself. I was well-respected by the officers and some of the females there. I was very well-respected by them. You understand? Because it's all in the way you carry yourself. If you want to, and most men prisons that I've gathered from doing, research, men have to, act a certain way so people will not punk them out. But in a women's prison, we don't have to be that way. Well, women's jail, you don't have to be that way, because nobody is trying to outdo anyone. Nobody's trying to be more than the next person. Nobody's trying to run the pod, if you will. Nobody is trying to dominate anybody. People are there just there to do their time. But as, again, I said, I'm speaking from a jail sense and not a prison sense, but I've never heard, and I've spoken to females that have been to prison. The only thing I've ever heard about prison is it is what you make it. And that's
okay,
any place that you go.
Okay, another question for you, Toya. A quick question. Mike told us the reasons why he went to prison. What was your reasoning for going? What happened to you? How did you go to a woman's jail?
I ended up in jail for several reasons. First of all, I ended up in jail for possession with the intent to distribute, which dropped down to simple possession. Then I went back because I violated my probation for domestic violence with a female. Then I went back again for the same thing, you know. So this, in other words, I went to jail several times off of one probation. Not really, because the charges, most of the charges were dropped. Most of the charges were dropped except for the charge of simple possession, that was dropped down to simple possession.
Okay.
So I never went to prison. Like I said, I've never been to prison. But from what I can understand, when they bring prisoners back, I was in a federal jail, which means that federal inmates from federal prisons that are in transit were stopping in our jail, were housed in this jail. Right. They were housed in this jail until it was time for them to move to another location, because federal prisoners are never kept in one particular place for a very long time. I don't understand it, and I don't know what it means, but I've never asked. But they tell me that, you know, county jail life is worse than going to prison, period.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to do, and that's true. There's nothing to do. You have three meals, three hots and a cot, and you do have commissary, and you do have people that actually hustle while they're there. You know, they get pills from the doctor, and they hustle their pills to people. So I do know of one guy that went in straight and came out gay, and he did tell me that he is a bisexual, and the reason was that he did not have commissary, and he did sell himself for a stamp. So,
wow. A stamp.
Yeah, a stamp. A stamp.
Are we talking about a stamp that you put on an envelope?
A post.
Yeah, that's what she's talking about, y'all.
Like 41 cents?
Stamp. A postage stamp.
Yeah.
Yes, he did not have the money. His mom had passed away. He was not getting any money sent to him to jail. He was not working anywhere. I don't know why he wasn't working. I don't know what would be a reason for a person not to be able to go to work in a facility such as, since it's for rehabilitation in the first place. But, yeah, no, he did not. He was not receiving anything. And he sold himself for a stamp, a postage stamp.
I have a question.
You know,
I have a question for both of you, Mike and Toya. Toya, first, and then Mike. What is the purpose of a hustle in jail? Because it seems like you get money, but you can only go to the store. What is it about this hustle? Because again, I've never been in prison. Thank God for that.
Okay.
And for those who have, you know, thank God that you made it out. But one thing I've never understood is you hustle, and this is from me taking it from the viewpoint of Oz, and I don't know how true Oz is, but people would sell drugs or people would sell something to get money, but what can you do actually with the money that you got, you know? I never understood that. Is that for power or is that – what is that for? Toya, you first.
It's not for power. Actually, what it is, it's for those people that don't receive commissary, that wants commissary, because nobody likes to eat the food that, you know, the facility has. Some days that they have things that you really don't want to eat. And because of the timing that they feed you, these people are still hungry. You're not able to get up and go for a second. You're not able to get up and go say, hey, can I have some more of that slop, or can I get some more of this, or can I get some more of that? And, you know, so quite naturally, you know, after about, you know, 5 o'clock, people are still ready to eat. You know what I mean? They want a snack as far as, you know, chips and soda and what and just whatever. So that's my hustle was my pills. And I'm just being honest. You know, that was my hustle. And there's a lot of people that hustle doing hair. There's a lot of positive hustle there, you know, but because I was still streety, I did the only thing I thought that I could do in there and to make more money other than just doing hair. She said most things that you sell in there, well, pills, drugs, or whatever, will go out, cigarettes, because right now they don't have cigarettes. And I know guys that suitcase cigarettes to bring them back to the jailhouse, and they will pay anywhere from $500 to $600 just for a pack of Buglers.
What?
And by suitcasing, I mean sticking it up their rectum just to get it inside the jail.
I actually thought you meant an actual suitcase. You mean
No, this is a code name. This is what you do is they wrap it in cellophane.
really, really tight, and they stick it up their rectum, and it's called suitcasing, and then they walk it into jail because they don't have an X-ray machine for them to walk through. They don't have and they can only check them. And, of course, yeah, they make them – some officers – you know which officer to bring stuff in on, because there's some officers that won't check you, and they'll just half. And then there's some that will just half check you, and then there are some that will thoroughly check you. Well, you know, you just have to know what days to bring what in. See, because you have people that go out on word detail, word release, and on those days, that's when they decide to bring. And on those days that the officers that they like that's there, those are the days that they choose to bring things in. And like I said, you get lots of money for the things that they can't have in jail. Like, for example, you know, I know a guy now, more than one guy, that I know one guy that's on death row right now that has a telephone, a cell phone in jail, Facebooking. Okay. You know what I mean? I mean, so, and these things are illegal. These things you're not supposed to have in there, but they get in there. They get inside the facility.
Uh-huh. You know. Now, Mike.
So the inside is not lacking anything.
Uh-huh. Now, Mike.
Yeah,
the same question.
I'm sorry.
What's the purpose of the hustle from the male perspective? What do you get out of getting just getting money? And it seems like you can't do anything except for buy a commissary with it. From a male perspective, what's the purpose of the hustle?
Okay, I remember. I was listening to her, and she's right. In some cases, it's not about power. But within the male aspect, seeing that you have so many different organizations, such as within Texas, you have Texas Syndicate, Mexican Mafia, Crip Bloods, Gangster Disciples, Vice Lords. All these are organizations who thrive off of power.
Yeah.
Money is that power. You have officers that are on payroll. The game with inside state penitentiary. Now, I know she was speaking from a federal aspect. Federal penitentiaries are totally different from state penitentiaries.
Uh-huh.
Because federal penitentiaries are closely monitored by the United States government. A state penitentiary is just what it is, and it's not monitored by the Justice Department as thoroughly. So, like she was saying with the cell phones, yeah, I know guys who got cell phones in there. That's been a big thing down in Texas. They've been finding inmates with cell phones. But I see it as a problem, and the problem is these things are getting inside, not through a lot of inmates. Because I know in Texas, when guys go to visit, it's not going to be suitcasing nothing. You don't have too many guys that can actually leave the penitentiaries on furlough. They cut that out a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of guys didn't come back for furlough and was gone for several years to another state, and they caught up with them. Furloughs are gone. So
yeah.
Anything that's coming inside the penitentiaries is coming through the officers.
Really?
I used to get 144 pack of buglers dropped off by my girl outside off the road. The guy that drove the tractor would go pick them up. He would take them to the officer. The officer would bring them right to my bunk. Walk
really?
Straight in. Bring him to my bunk. I would pay him his $250, and I would sell 144 packs for $30 each.
That's some cigarettes.
Yes, sir.
Ooh.
That money.
Ooh.
I would get back to my boy. My girl would come to visit. He would either send it by wire, Western Union, to her. I bought her a car off of that. I helped pay for the apartment.
Wow.
Her little girl, I bought her clothes. My mama, I helped take care of her.
Okay.
That was for that first 5 years.
Ooh.
You know, I'm not going to lie and say it wasn't about power. Come on, man. Think about it. You in a situation, and a lot of times it is power because, like I was saying earlier, you might have a situation where this guy was a drug addict on the streets. He can get money in. Now he went from being a drug addict to being a kingpin inside the walls.
Wow. You know, hey, y'all, we're hearing some real stories. We're hearing real talk. We're hearing real people tonight, ladies and gentlemen. The online happy hour is where you're going to hear it, not the movies, not television, not a premium story, not even a
Hello?
Book. You're going to get
Hello?
Straight to the real, ladies and gentlemen. I want Toya and I want Mike to hold the line for just 1 second. We
All
have
right.
another caller. 646, ladies and gentlemen, 727-3279 is the number you need to program in your cell phones. Mike, I'm going to come back to what you just said, but I want to bring somebody on the line that has been waiting and been itching and scratching to get on this line, ladies and gentlemen. The infamous E-Dub out of KC Moe. E-Dub, are you with us? We just lost him, but that's okay. You know what? I've been wanting to know.
Got another caller coming.
The line just dropped, but that's okay. I know he's going to be calling back soon. Here's one thing that I wanted to ask. You know, we talk about the relationships that people have, you know, with the sexual connotation, and a lot of our chat room members have asked this, you know, and I've been getting this question before the show even started. You know, how do you even bring upon a relationship, you know, when you're incarcerated? Hold that thought. I'm going to come back to that question because E-Dub is still here. E, you're in Kansas City. Talk to us, man. What's going on?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Talk to us.
Hey, man. I'd like to greet everybody and say hello. I have some points that I'd like to express. First of all, yes, I personally was locked up for a while. And I agree with what the young lady said to an extent on some things, but like the brother said, it's a lot different in the male's state prison. Prison is big business on both levels, on the inmate level and on the state level. Most of the prisons that are up here in the Midwest and Kansas City, I mean in the state of Missouri, and in the state of Kansas are privately ran institutions.
Uh-huh.
So the state doesn't have to bear all the burden of paying for these things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In prison life is basically, regardless of the fact of what you did or whatever, it's a state of survival.
Yeah.
And it's basically the survival of the fittest. I've known several brothers that have been locked down more than 3 years, more than 20 years, and have not sold their soul for nothing or became gay. So on her story, I ain't saying that she's a lie or whatever, but me personally, I know that there's brothers out there strong enough. Yeah, there are those that are weak. I personally went to jail for sales of cocaine. I got ratted on or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I can't blame that person that told on me because I knew right from wrong when I done it. But like the brother said, once I got there, I was in a state of shock. I knew that I was doing something that I wasn't supposed to do, and I was basically straddling the fence, trying to get out and trying to get into this trade that I was in as far as remodeling and everything. But you can't straddle the fence. You have to have, you're either going to be 2 foot in, 2 feet in, or 2 feet out. You can't see out of the fence. So as far as my experience or whatever, going down or whatever, being my first time going down, my hustle was through the kitchen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was in the prep room, so I sold peanut butter, I sold cheese, I sold, you know, chopped onions, different stuff like that.
Hold on, E. Is peanut butter, is that a slang for something else? Because I called
man. No, peanut butter is actually peanut butter.
Okay.
Peanut butter is actually peanut butter. Now, the slang that we call, the slang that you might have called suitcases, they call it keistering up here.
Oh. Okay,
they call it keistering or whatever. Well, I had a homeboy from St. Louis that had actually a guard, which, like the brother said, bringing in ounces of weed to this guy because she liked him.
Yeah.
Whatever. There was another guard. He was bringing in ink for the tattoo artists or whatever. It's a hustle for everything you do in there. And if you don't know by now or whatever, most of the most intelligent brothers and sisters are locked up.
I believe that.
Anybody that can make a shank that can kill you out of newspaper is very intelligent.
I believe that too.
I'm talking about sharp enough to penetrate your skin, a muscle bound man, and actually kill you.
Yeah.
It's pretty intelligent. But
yeah, I believe that.
Penitentiary is big business, and when the brother was on rehabilitation, most of it lies, like he said, it's in the individual. I don't consider that young man upset about, you know what I'm saying, being there or whatever. He got over that. I think he was mostly upset about the surroundings that he was in and some of the things he probably got close to with some of the brothers and found out how they are. I think that's what was mainly upsetting him. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of brothers, the first thing they're going to say, I didn't do it. You know, that's the quotation, I didn't do it. Until you come to reality about your faults or whatever, and a lot of finger-pointing and blaming is going on. But they sent me to treatment. So I had to go to treatment or whatever, which is a therapeutic community, which is basically everybody's telling on everybody just so they can fake it to make it. You know what I'm saying? And if you, after a while, you're there 6 months, or some of them are there longer. You know, they have some 18 months and all that. Well, basically, they go on your thinking pattern.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people may not think that they don't have, that they made us have, they made us write down the thinking log, which were 2 negative thoughts a day.
Yeah.
And then we had to break that down and decipher it or whatever, as far as the situation, your thoughts, your feelings, the positive aspect of how you could have changed it and what you're going to do in the future. So after so long of being programmed that way, you get to thinking about things, and it's very easy for somebody to think about the situation and go in somebody else's head and see how they could have handled that situation different.
Okay. Now, Edub, you was talking about how, you know, a lot of the inmates that you meet are very intelligent, which I have to agree myself. I've known some and highly intelligent brothers, and you were talking about how they made a shank out of newspaper. You know, what is the state of violence in today's penitentiary? And, you know, just, you know, how is it amongst the population? You know, I hear they say they got segments. They got the blacks, the whites, the Hispanics, the, you know, all different gangs. You know, what is the state? You know, I'll start with you, E-Dub, then I'll go to Mike, then I'll go to Toya. My question is, from your viewpoint, what was the state of violence since you're in the Midwest? How was it there in the Midwest, the violent aspect of it?
Well, the facility that I was in actually wasn't all that violent. We had, you know, there were a few fights or whatever. Most of those brothers was pretty much on their way out the gate.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? By me being my first time down or whatever, I didn't have the scores or whatever, what they call a saline factor, to go into the level 4s and level 5 penitentiaries or whatever. Most of those there are the brothers that's doing at least 15 on up. You know, we call them double digits or whatever. If some might be doing 10, but they're getting ready to be transferred out. It was more or less the diagnostic center, you know, where everybody comes through. It's more or less the train station. You go there, you get processed or whatever, they place you somewhere, and they're getting ready to ship you somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? You might hang on the yard for a minute, but it depends on your act of violence or your crime or your how many times you've been down. You see what I'm saying? But in other level 4s and federal level 5 penitentiaries, there's a lot of violence. You know what I'm saying? I mean, body bags going out. You bury right there on the ground. You see what I'm saying? So, and for those that haven't been and want to know more history about it, all you got to do is go rip movie Ganglands and different other stuff. Look at it's all right there on National Geographic about the different penitentiaries, the ones out in California, San Quentin, all of them, the one up in Denver where the whole penitentiary is up underground. It's the biggest. Max.
Yeah,
it's up. It's up in Colorado. It's totally underground. Everything's underground. How you getting out, nigga? You see what I'm saying? They find you got so much time to sit there that you will find a way to communicate with brothers. And when she was talking about the cell phones, hell, it's right there on Tennessee. It's right there on A&E every Thursday night. How they the Tennessee is flooded with cell phones. That's how they do their hits on the street. That's how they doing everything. The gangs is running that shit. You know what I'm saying? And it's right there in front of you. It's right. They doing the research for you. You don't want to go, and you don't have to go. You know, but prison is big business, and the farther you stay away from it, the better off you are.
Okay, now hold on, E-Dub. I got to ask the same question to Mike and Toya very quickly. Starting with Toya, how was the violence? I heard like everybody was doing hair, and it seems all peachy, but it's not peachy. It's still a penitentiary. What was the violent aspect of it, Toya?
Actually, from where I stand, we because of the testosterone level that men have, women are more argumentative, so they argued a lot, but there was not a lot of fighting that went on, a lot of fist fighting that went on. Actually, I got into a fight once, but I cannot say that there was a whole lot of fighting. People really had to just push a female to the limit they did a lot of crying about, oh, my kids, you know, women are very emotional, and oh, my God, the judge just gave me X amount of time and stuff like that. So it really wasn't that much fighting going on as much as it was, you know, a lot of bickering.
Okay, and Mike, in the Texas penitentiary.
You know what? Some of the units I've been on have been, you could cut the tension as just like with a knife. It would be so thick.
Yeah.
Because everybody was always waiting for something to go on.
Yeah.
And then you would have, I've been on a unit where there wasn't nothing going to happen. Everybody knew it. You know, everybody could do their time calm, safely, not having to worry about nobody going to stick anybody. I remember one unit I was on, Cofield Unit in Tennessee Colony. I was laying up in my cell, getting ready to go to outside rec. I had a Spanish cellie. He say, "Cellie, stay in the house today." He say, "Stay in the house with me and spread. We going to eat." And I was like, "Man, I'm finna go get my workout on." He say, "Just trust me, stay in."
Yeah.
So we eat. I'm sitting on my bunk. He's sitting on the toilet in the cell. We sitting up here eating. We look. I look out the window. I see this Spanish guy running around the yard. I see two other Spanish guys run up on the side of him, like they talking to him like they buddy-buddy.
Yeah.
I seen one put his arm around him, and then about four or five more steps, they go ahead and run on. He run on for a little bit and hit the ground.
Ooh.
They shut the yard down.
Wow.
You see the helicopter come in 10 minutes later. They got a life flight.
Yeah.
This was everyday. On this farm, this was everyday life, man.
Wow.
And
I don't know if my callers and my listeners are going to believe what's going on. We hearing it straight. We hearing the direct, ladies and gentlemen. The locked up lifestyle. What's it like to be in, ladies and gentlemen? 646-727-3279. For my callers, Mike, Toya, E-Dub knows already. We talk to everybody nationwide around America, even nationwide, I mean even globally, that chime in and listen to the show. E-Dub is in Missouri. You know, Toya's in Atlanta. Mike is here in Texas. So let's keep the lines popping and go out to the west side in Killer, California, to hear from Yusuf out there in California. Yusuf, are you on the line? Yusuf, are you there with us?
Hey, Andy.
Yeah. Yusuf asked to be on the line. We got him on the line. Maybe he has a bad cell phone connection. I don't know if he paid that bill this month, but Yusuf, are you there?
Andy, I can hear something. This is E-Dub. I got something else to say while we're waiting on you, Seth.
Well, talk to me, bro.
Well, and also in the state of Missouri, most of there are inmates that are actually the physicians in the penitentiary. So if there's somebody that's done got stuck or whatever, and you done had problems with that guy, most times you're gonna go back and see him because he's the one gonna stitch you up.
Huh.
Man, wow.
You see what I'm saying? And that's in the high level. You know, back in the day, you know, a scared straight program. A lot of these inmates, when she said, you know, some of them, it was brought to mention that some of them have to have weapons. It's the way you carry yourself. Most brothers know when you come to that door whether or not if they going to be able to try you or not. If they can't get a vibe on you and they don't know, more times out of 10, they probably going to leave you alone for a while till somebody finds out your vibe. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
If you stick it to yourself and you doing your time and don't let your time do you, you know what I'm saying, you're going to be all right. The hardest part is staying on the street. The easy part is going to jail. You know what I'm saying?
The hardest part is when you actually get out.
Yeah, because a lot of brothers that have been there that long and then bullshit all that time, they not reformed. So they go back to what they know. You know,
okay.
They go back to what they know. If you use your time wisely and use everything, because they have trades in jail you could take up. They have all different other things you could take up. This brother's coming out of there with master's degrees. You see what I'm saying?
Wow.
Different other things, you know, coming out with 2 or 3 degrees. You use your time wisely, and you help yourself, because ain't nobody else, like the brothers, ain't nobody else going to help you. They can give a damn about you. There are guards that will help you. They don't mind, but then there are guards that are dicks. This is a job to them. They coming to get their money, and they know they can. They know that's one place they can talk crazy to a motherfucker, but they won't talk crazy on the street.
Yeah.
Man, well, I ask you to hold that thought 1 second while we bring Yusuf on the line out in California. Yusuf, and I know you're with us now. Maybe you had a bad connection, but Yusuf, are you there? Hello?
I think
he keeps dropping, now, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if he has a bad cell phone connect or not. But let's kind of keep the party going. I want to talk, you know, first to Mike, because Mike's been with us on the show, and he's talked a little bit about what's been going on. So let's kind of get a little bit more into how inmates actually feel when we talk about the locked-up lifestyle. You know, Mike, I'll ask you first, then we'll go to Toya and then to E-Dub. You know, how do some inmates actually feel, I don't know, as you say, like a level of guilt,
remorse,
or feel a need to lash out on society because they've been locked up. When they come out, it's a whole new dimension. Do you hold that as a neglect?
Well, you know what, I'll speak from my aspect first. When I got locked up, I actually was at the point where, you know what, the things I have done in the past, if I had got locked up for them, I probably wouldn't have seen daylight. So for me to get that 10-year sentence, it really wasn't nothing. I knew that this was something that I had to do. Somewhat like what Toya was saying, when you get locked up, you know, hey, this is what it is. I did this. I got to do this time. But it's like the aspect. I was still in shock at a point. And I put myself in my own world. But when I came, like what E-Dub was saying, you know, you had an opportunity to better yourself, because I finally snapped to the point. I say, well, you know what? The world don't owe me anything. I owe myself. All right? And I got to sit up here and educate myself and get myself on point, not to play catch-up, but to play fall in.
Okay.
I got 2 degrees while I was down there. One from Trinity Valley College in Athens, and one from Lee College in Baytown. I had a small business degree, small business management, and I got one in microcomputer application and networking through Microsoft.
Wow.
So
awesome.
And I did this to prepare myself. because the world didn't owe me anything. What I owed was the world. When I came home, I've done everything I can to pay back everything, because I'm not going to lie. In the streets, I terrorized. But I knew that when I came home, I owed the people. I didn't owe, they didn't owe me anything. I had to pay back my mother for the nights that she cried and worried about me, thinking that she might have made, you know, did something wrong that I turned that way. I had to let her know and reassure her, hey, you know what, you did everything you could.
Okay.
I made my decisions. I had to pay for that. I live with a label on my back every single day, but I don't conduct myself and feel like, oh, I can't get a job because I got this on my back, so I got to go out here and hustle. Came home, it was hard to get a job, true enough. So you know what I did? I went back to school. I took cosmetology. I tell everybody, I went from being a gangster to a hairstylist. I used to sit up here and I used to slang dope on the street. Now I slang her weave for my chair, you know what I'm saying?
Awesome, brother.
You know, that's what I do, and I'm doing something positive to give back. But I also know those who come home, and when they get home, they cannot cope with outside, because they have no one who understands them. Because like I say, like we talked about, movies and media give a one-sided look at what really goes on. Even the shows like what E-Dub was talking about, when you watch History Channel, National Geographic, the Lockdown, Raw, and all that, I'm going to be truthful. They show cats that are trying to go out, and I've noticed they always show from said. I have yet to see them show from in the schoolhouses or show these individuals as they are going through college. I have yet to see them showing somebody with a college book in front of them talking about the degree that they're trying to achieve.
Wow, that's real talk.
Usually the guys that they show that's going to get ready to go home, they're already gone out the door. They did majority of their sentence. So they can do the fool back there and say it. They can act however they want to, because you know why? These people can't stop them from going home. So when society sees this and you come home, guess what society is waiting on? They might be waiting for you to fail, but then you have a level of society who is ready for you to rise to the occasion. And you have those of us, that's what we're ready to do. We're ready to show the world that we can make it.
Hey,
E-Dub was
that's
right.
Awesome,
it's hard.
Brother.
You know, E-Dub was right. It's hard, man. It's hard
the
because
question.
guess what we have to fight? And I'm going to let you get your question, but I'm just going to say this.
Original.
What we have to fight, man, is we have to fight even
Hello?
The stereotypes that have been put out there by the brothers who come home and go right back to selling dope, go right back to robbing.
Yeah.
When they do that, they make it hard on us who trying to come home and do right.
And see, that's the question that I have for you guys tonight, is the fact that when you do get out, and society, a lot of people in society don't view you as a reformed person. They still see you as an animal or a criminal, and they're afraid of you. You know, how can you overcome that? Because society has already plagued you, one. Two, you got rappers who's glorifying it. And you got little kids that look up to it. So how can you refute this stigma that you have on you? I know it's rough, but how can you do it? We're going to start with E-Dub, move to Toya, then we're going to go back to you, Mike. E-Dub,
okay.
How could you, when you got out, you know, how did society view you, and how did you overcome all this?
Well, basically, I overcame a lot of my, because, you know, no matter how much time you in there, if you in there over a year or whatever, you do what the Romans do, or you reform your, you kind of set in some type of prison ways and to a certain extent. But what I did was I prayed a lot. And I just surrounded myself. I had to change a lot of friends, but most of the friends that I did have were there with me through the ride, and they were there before the ride, through the ride, and when I got home. My true friends would tell me, okay, Dub, you tripping, you fucking up. You dig what I'm saying?
Right.
But as far as society aspect for it, I was never ashamed to let somebody know that, yeah, I went to prison. And the reason for that was because I wanted them to see me later on down the road. You know what I'm saying? Like the brother said, when he got his degrees in there, what I did was I knew when I got there that what I wanted to do when I got out. I started paving my road. So the day I got out on a Saturday, July 4th, Tuesday morning, I was enrolling in trade school as an electrician, learning to be an electrician. I graduated, I got my electrical certificate, and then I went on to get my master's. So I started my own business within 4 years after getting out.
Yeah.
I continue to run my own business now. It's just you have to have good supportive people behind you, and you messed up. Everybody does. It's just that a lot of them haven't been caught like we have.
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, you have to stand your ground, because if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything.
Mm-hmm.
That's my motto. So, basically, I try to talk to the young kids, and before I even went, I was a Mason. And I'm still a Mason now, and it grounds me. It grounds me as far as my, you know, a mental behavior of, you know, being a man, you know what I'm saying, giving back to the community, you know what I'm saying? And all those things have to work in, you know, they have to be placed in order and work in order for you to accomplish things. But the brothers and the sisters that you have on the phone chiming in, we're just some of the few that have stayed fast, steady, and strong and made it. A lot of brothers, they don't make it. They weave through the cracks. I even went as far as doing the right thing because work was slow, going to my PO and asking them, can I go on the road to work? They proceeded to tell me no. So I'm saying, so basically you're saying I can't feed my family. You know what I'm saying? That's the bottom line. That's the final score of the game. I can't feed my family. But here I am trying to do right. Those that are doing wrong and not trying to do right, they get a slap on the wrist. Those that are doing right, they get held back.
Now, Toya, I have a question. Same question to you, Toya. Once you got out, you know, how society viewed you and how did you overcome what society thought of you?
Well, actually, I like to speak on something that both men have said, that they got degrees. One guy said something about why don't they show on television about the degrees that these guys are getting out with. First and foremost, you have to learn, you have to understand that everything is political. Even though you get out with a degree, doesn't promise you a job. They are passing laws nowadays stating that felons can't get jobs. It's a political thing. But for myself, I went back to school. I went back to college. I'm graduating in December with my bachelor's degree in criminal justice, and I'm going on to law school. But the fact of the matter is it isn't easy. And the thing about that is when you get your degree, people have got to learn to own their own things, especially people of color, because nobody, it doesn't matter what degree you have, how you have that degree, those people are still going to look at you. You're still not going to go as high as you can go in this world if you are depending on someone else. Now, like the other man, him having someone behind him, you have that support. Well, you know what? Suppose that support wasn't there. You know, you have to be supportive of yourself. If you cannot stand for yourself, like you said, you'll fall for anything. So you don't need anybody backing you. You need to get your mind right, and you need to say, this is what I'm going to do regardless of who stands with me or who's not with me. Because,
but, Toya, not everybody has that mindset, though, Toya. A lot of people, you know, they need, you know, somebody in their corner. You know, you could be a strong person to stand up and say, hey, you know, I'm going to do this as soon as I get out, you know, regardless of what the world says, but not everyone has that same temperament or mindset.
So, and I understand that. And I understand that that's the reason why it is absolutely important to teach our young people how to stand alone. You don't need to have – all you need is God. You actually don't need to have somebody behind you telling you what you can and cannot do. If you need to have somebody – you need to have a cheerleading team on your side, then you're doing it for other people. You're not doing it for yourself. That's
I disagree.
How I feel.
Okay, well, you know, okay well, now, Mike, we're going to go to Mike. When you got out, Mike, after your year's incarceration, you know, how did you overcome it? Because, you know, people do look at you differently. People may have been afraid of you. People may have said, you know, I can't have you around my kids. I can't have you around, you know, I can't have you around anything because you've done this. You know, how did you overcome this? Because, you know, the stigma of a person being in the pen for years, you know, that's kind of hard because, you know, if you bring it up in conversation, a lot of people
right.
might say, well, hold on, because, like I said, you know, people are afraid. We learn by watching television, and once you think of television, you see Oz when you say jail. You think of somebody shanking you, stabbing you, killing you, robbing you. How did you overcome all this?
16 boxes of cigarettes.
You know what, when I came home, man, and it might seem strange, but when I came home, I really didn't have a problem with stereotypes. Because, like Ego was talking about, it's your mindset when you come home. It's about how you carry yourself. The same way in the penitentiary, it's about how you carry yourself outside in the world.
Yeah.
I stand, and I'm going to tell you the truth. When you see me, I stand 6'2". I weigh 275 pounds, and I got tattoos. But when I came home, wasn't nobody looking at me as being afraid of me. Everybody was looking at me because I tell you what I did. I actually established myself before I came home.
Yeah.
I actually started working with programs, sending letters out to be read to the youth, allowing my accomplishments and my certificates to be displayed so they could see, hey, you can make a change.
Yeah.
But I always express, don't have to come to the penitentiary to make that change. And when I came home, I had more people looking up to me, not because I had been to the penitentiary. And, because, you know, I got stars on my chest because I'd have been to the pen. What I was getting stars on my chest was because everybody was looking for me not to go back. They were looking it up to me for the contribution I could make.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You know, when I got home, I was ready to contribute. Man, I was helping anybody I could.
Yeah.
Whether it was young, old, in my neighborhood, I would cut the older people's grass. I would help them around their house. This is the stuff I did when I came home. Because I had one foundation. That foundation was God. Like she was saying, it's you and God. But at the same time, in some ways I disagree with the you by yourself.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when you start you by yourself, you can get selfish.
Yeah.
And you can nobody but yourself. Even
oh, my God,
I disagree with that.
Oh, no.
Wait a minute.
That's real tough. Hold on. Everyone gets a turn. Go ahead, Mike.
I mean, you're welcome to disagree, but I'm just saying it from my aspect. Because
I'm not talking about you.
I'm saying
he's saying that you can, I mean, it's possible that a person can become selfish, but there's a lot that person has done for themselves. You know, in other words, let me just say this.
I guess it's more being more independent.
Suppose you didn't have that positive person saying, oh, you can do it, little John. Oh, little John, you need to be straight. Oh, little John, you need to do this. Oh, what would little John do? Do you think little John would have, without that support, would you have gone back to prison? I'm just curious. Without the support of someone else.
Wait a minute. Let me explain something to you. I'm going to tell you what I did. And I'm going to answer your question.
Yeah.
In a sense, when I got home, I was very focused because for one of the things that I had, one of my plans went awry because I ended up getting married before I came home. I got married while I was locked up in the penitentiary. But when I came home, yeah, my wife was there, and she was there to support me, but at the same time, I knew the things that I had to do, and I stayed focused on it. It was good that I had it, but if I hadn't had it, my plan was not to even deal with a female period when I first came home, because I knew the things I had to do to get myself established. Okay, plans
well,
are always
tell you like, ladies and gentlemen, hold that thought. Toya's been hitting us with the real. E-Dub has been hitting us with the real. And Mike has been chiming in, and brother has been blowing it out the water, ladies and gentlemen. Locked up lifestyle. You never know. Because what we see on TV ain't really the real. What we hear on the news ain't really the real. We got to hear from those who have experienced and have gone through. Now, we only have just a few more minutes left, and I know the phone lines are still lit up, but I want to take it out back to Killer California and get the homie D. Sewell on the line and talk and chime in and talk to us a little bit about it. Damon, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's going on, bro?
Talk to me, man. You're on the online happy hour, bro. You want to chime in and tell us what you've been hearing?
Oh, yeah. I've been listening for, for a few minutes, man. I'm actually here at work, but I want to say what's up to Mike, and Toya. Just a real brief, you know, I'm here in Texas for about a year. I work for the Texas Youth Commission, and I'm actually at work right now. I'm working at work PO Los Angeles County. But listen, man, I want to tell you to keep this through, but what I want to do, and I have to go, we actually running showers in this mug right now, but I want you to have a show, man, and I got about 100 youth in here. I want you to get these three, get the young lady and two gentlemen back on. I just want to go live, and I think we could have got a lot out of it today, but I couldn't get the speakers in time. I chimed in, and I thought I was just going to chime in for a few minutes, but it got real interesting, man, so if you guys wouldn't mind, maybe next week we can do it again or whatever.
To be honest, D, man, to help out anybody, to help out, especially the youth, man, because, you know, we joke about it, but to be honest, they are our future. And if they want to come back, if Toya, if Mike, if E-Dub want to come back and talk to the youth to help them out and straighten them out in any way, say, hey, you know, I've been there, but I've made it. I had some struggles. I fell down, but I got back up. Man, we'll do it again.
I found some speakers, but it was we were in a shower. It'd be a little loud, a little too loud. Probably couldn't hear all that well, but I know you guys don't have too much more time. But yeah, like I said, man, I got a lot of just listening. These few minutes, and I would like to get you guys back on.
Hey, man, look.
All right.
We'll do it in California. We'll do it in Atlanta. We'll do it in Texas, and we'll do it in KC. We'll do it all over, man. As long as we helping people, Sue, we'll definitely do this again, my man. Definitely. That is not a problem.
Definitely.
I got to run, man. I got to run and get back in here. But y'all take it easy, and I'll hear from y'all real soon, all right?
Keep up the good work, bro.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, the call is calling from all over the nation, Kansas City, Atlanta, California, New York, Memphis, Tennessee, Tottie. It goes down like four flat tires, baby. It goes down like bad stock on the online happy hour. We want to let everybody know that this has been an awesome show. We've heard from
Andy.
Real people. Before we go, E-Dub, can you chime in and tell us one more quick thing?
One quick thing before I go, and I'm gonna leave it like this. Andy and my man Mad Rick.
Yeah.
You guys, Rick, you met me in Dallas.
Yeah.
You never knew my history or my background. Andy, you met me because back when you lived at home or whatever, you know, dating your cousin or whatever. Now, based on my behavior and how I acted, would you have ever known that I had been to prison?
Absolutely not. But that's how it should be. You know
exactly.
What I'm saying, E-Dub? And that's to everybody who's listening. It shouldn't be that you have to represent a prison lifestyle. You should represent
exactly.
yourself. But so
exactly.
many people get it misconstrued, though, E-Dub. So many people get it misconstrued, Toya and Mike, because everybody want to be Lil Wayne. Everybody wants to be a rapper, and they think that that's a cool thing to be, as like, you know, I'm a thug. And guess what? The biggest thugs, ladies and gentlemen, are the ones that's pushing the pen. The biggest thugs are the ones who's sitting behind that desk and telling you you got 5, 10, and 15 years. So don't glorify those who come home and still go back to what they tried to do to get that got there first. Don't glorify that, man, because somebody else is looking at you. Let's understand
and
the
everybody,
truth.
And everybody does need some type of support system, whether
of course,
it be religion,
I agree with that 100%,
whether it be religion, family, whatever. You cannot make it by yourself.
And you know
care.
What? And you know what he does? I want to say personally, because I've had family members myself that was incarcerated. It seemed like the majority of my family, man. A lot of people don't know me because I joke too much when I'm on here, but a lot of my family members were locked up. And if I would have known what I've known today when I talked to other people, I probably wouldn't have hung up the phone when they called because I was angry at the fact that they took themselves from me, and I guess I was being selfish, but I was younger at the time. But a lot of people don't realize that they need that when they go away. They need that family. They need that structure regardless. And, you know, I would want to apologize to all my family members because I know, personally, I extracted myself from them because of what they did to themselves. You know, my dad always said, it's like, you want somebody to die, but you drinking the poison. It just don't make sense. Be there for that person. Love that person regardless. So anybody's out there, they do have family members there, reach out to them. Because a lot of times they can't do it alone. You probably can't drive up to see them, but you may want to call. You may want to put something on their books because that can help them out. Maybe a letter, encouraging words. Like I said, I took from it today that I will reach out to my family members who are there. You know, I have a brother right now that's in Angola. I've never met him. He's going to be there for the rest of his life. But I probably could write him a letter, send him a picture, but I've never done it. I've had other brothers, sisters, cousins that been in, had stretches, and I've never reached out to them. You never know. It could be that one letter that could change their life, man.
Right on.
That's what I got to say about that, man.
Right on. And we speak the real each and every week. You know what? We had a hot topic lined up for next week, but we're going to come back because this is just so hot. It's necessary. Toya, if you've committed, Evelyn, if you've committed, Mike, if you've committed, next week we're going to come back with part two of the Locked Up Lifestyle. E-Dub, I know you've been listening. We appreciate your call. Toya, I know you've been there. We appreciate you calling. Mike, tell us what's going on with you here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, man.
All right, just to let everybody know, like I said, you know, I am a hairstylist. You can find me at LV's Barbershop at 7409 John T. White Road in Fort Worth, Texas, 76120. We also have the owner of the shop, him and his wife, and I also went into business together and opened up a 24-hour daycare center. It's right next door to the barbershop. All right?
Wow.
And they accept CCMS. They are trying to do their best to help the mothers, a lot of single mothers who wanted to take night jobs but couldn't because they didn't have the day, you know, to care for them. Now you got a place to bring them to. It's right here on John T. White Road. It's right in the Fort Worth area. It's local. A lot of places you can get to. It's right off of 820. It's easy to get to. And I wanted to say this, you know, just to chime in on what he was saying. Man, a letter would change everything. I know it's a lot of women out there who your husbands or your boyfriends that got locked up. I know it's hard doing time when your spouse and mate is away from you because you doing time too. You doing time with them. Yo, that's one thing we realize when we locked up, our family does time with us too.
Right.
No matter what he might say because of the pressure that he's up under within the penitentiary. No matter the frustration that he might express through the letters, and it might seem like he's lashing out to you, you don't really know what's going on. But send a word of kindness back to him. Keep him in your prayers. And if you can hang on, and I'm being real. A lot of people say it's not real, but if you can hang on, hang in there, y'all.
Okay. Well, that's real talk, brother. We appreciate you chiming in. We appreciate you keeping it real. I just want to say thank you to all of those who chimed in and provided their insight. The Online Happy is here. We're here to stay. Join us live each week as we live vicariously through others. If you know that you had a good night, tell two or three people more to chime in with you next week as we come back with part two of the Locked Up Lifestyle. I want to say thank you to my family who chimed in. Log in, listen, and learn, fam. My name is Andy Brown. This is Ricky Williams. Go mob to the frat. Good night, and we be gone. Real talk, ladies and gentlemen. The Online Happy Hour is here to stay.
Or is born, you got six wings on that jack, kid. This shit is real.
Hey, yo, 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 yo. Hey, yo, check this shit out, man.
Hey, yo, go on, give me a cigarette.
Yo, here you go, here you go, here you go. Yo, check it out, man. Check out what I got here, man.
What is that? What's that?
Yo, what's that letter I got from my man, Lion, man? World is born.
What up, kid? I know shit is rough doing your bit. When the cops came, you should have slid to my crib.